In front of us, we have Ty and Linda Hatfield. And when you told me about them and what they do, I thought, okay, parent shifters. What are parent shifters? And then I checked it out a little bit, parental courses and parenting classes and workshops and stuff. And you have, by the way, you have a Zoom course that starts this coming, a week from this coming Sunday, right?
Yes.
So on March the 6th. So welcome Ty and Linda Hatfield to the program today. How are you?
Thank you. We're doing well. Thank you.
Good.
It's great to be here, Ed. And this is a special thing to watch you live in a live human crafted radio show. So this is,
right.
I love this.
Well,
this is awesome.
Well, give it 5 minutes and let's see if you can still have that thought here. I think the first thing that crossed my mind, you have kids, right?
We do.
Of course.
Okay. Well, yeah, because that's important. I think if someone's going to teach parental workshops, that's A, you got to have kids, number one. How are your kids doing in life?
They're fantastic. We have three daughters. They're ages 32, 31, and 29.
Okay.
So, yes, very busy mom and dad. We had three daughters in 3.5 years. And they most of their life, they've been raised in this paradigm. And they're doing fantastic. They're all college grads. They all were empty nesters. They all run their own life. They love their lives. They create their lives. They're proactive on their lives. And they're the most important thing to me is our relationship with them is very connected. We always say we're not a perfect family and we're a connected family. So that's what makes the difference.
Excellent. And has parenting changed in the last 50 or 100 years? Is the structure of how you parent still the same?
Well, I was thinking about this the other day, and what's changed is... it's more online information. You know, people are, instead of going to a bookstore or hearing it from the neighbors, there's a lot of online information. But basically, if you compare us to 50 years ago, generally it's about the same. It's very a slow evolution. You know, the 50 years ago, it was punishment, punishment, punishment.
Right.
And now we're getting away from that slowly, but that's where we're headed.
Okay.
And I want to add to that, we're a research-based, evidence-based parenting program, and the research now is very clear on why punishment is ineffective. You know, it lowers self-esteem, it damages the relationship, and also now that we can stick people under MRIs, we can see what goes on in the brain and what happens when we do punish. And even using timeout was very popular, you know, in the 80s. And now the research is clear on that timeout is actually processed as punishment in the brain with children. So at now, one time that was the thing to do. It's better than spanking, everybody would say. Right. However, it's kind of an emotional spanking, really. Right.
So to deny someone, to deny a teenager of something they like to do if they break a rule, that's considered a punishment. Is that now a faux pas?
No, we're very much supportive of boundaries and limits, age appropriately. Usually around safety and health is the obvious, and we're very supportive of that. It's just that we don't punish in order to hold the boundaries and limits.
Okay.
So we're not permissive,
right.
And we're not, you know, autocratic, authoritarian. We're what's called heart-centered or democratic parenting.
Okay.
So we keep the relationship intact while holding the boundaries and limits.
Okay.
I think what you're alluding to is taking away a passion to get better improvement from them, like raising a grade or behavior.
To change a behavior in some way.
Right. And that is kind of demoralizing because that might be the only thing that the child meets their needs in a passionate way. They love to play soccer, let's say. And let's say their grades aren't good enough, so you take them out of soccer to wait till you improve.
Right.
That's demoralizing to a child.
So that would be a form of punishment.
Right. That would definitely be a form of punishment. So do parents, are all kids reasonable enough to speak with and teach them through just a conversation? Are all kids that reasonable? Do they have that ability to reason?
You have to know what child is in front of you and what brain is in front of you, because they could be in survival brain because of a lot of stress going on. So you've got to know when to talk to them, how to talk to them. Quite often parents come from their own childhood wounding while they're trying to talk to their child.
Right.
And it gets mixed messages.
Right.
And also, we do a lot of prevention. You know, our program is 20 hours long, plus even.
Right.
And so we put a lot of preventative pieces in place, which a lot of times parents aren't thinking about prevention, or, as Ty said, who's in front of them. You know, children are naturally playful the younger you are. So the more you can make things fun, the more cooperation you're going to get. So we're very much into understanding developmental stages. That's my background. Actually, I was a child development major and I taught elementary school. So understanding those points of development are extremely important.
And are the parents that you're seeing today different from the parents you've seen years ago? How have the parents that come to your workshops, how have they changed, or have they? Are you still seeing the same types, the same personalities of parents? Are those the type that take these workshops?
Well, I think nowadays the parents coming up are more evolved, actually. And I call them professional parents. We get people who do have a lot of struggles in their parenting for a variety of reasons, but we also get professional parents who just want to know more and more about parenting, and there isn't anything necessarily going on. They're very evolved, they're reading lots of books, they're keeping up on the greatest and latest, but that's more, I'd say, wouldn't you say, Ty, that it's people who have kids like in their 20s and early 30s now?
Yeah, I would say what's changed over time is the age of the parents.
Right.
Parents are older, having children older, and so we're seeing that a lot.
So you're seeing more experience in the parents that come in, or just older?
Older.
Okay.
Sometimes what's challenging is if it's an older parent, we all have developmental stages. So if a man's 50 and having younger ones, he's got other motives going on than, let's say, a 20-year-old.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I think the next question is, if a kid, let's say a 7 or an 8-year-old, is having problems in school, are we as a society too quick to medicate, too quick to diagnose that as a problem and medicate that problem?
Absolutely. We say go to the parenting first, because you really have to zero in, magnify what's going on with the parenting. How is the child being taught, spoken to? What kind of chores are going on, or is the child having everybody cater to him? You know, there's empowering things that the child could be doing for themselves that oftentimes parents are overdoing, and there's struggles just from that.
Right. And does the research show that there is a time to medicate?
The research shows there's only a time to medicate when there's something that needs medicating. I mean, if you have a hormonal imbalance, or you've got, you know, you go to the doctor and the doctor is saying there's something that needs the medication because of hormones or something like that, yes. But typically, I say no. Typically, when we adjust our parenting, you know, when I change, everybody changes around me, kind of idea, right? So when the parent has a better skill set and more tools in the toolbox, and they understand their child more and they meet the needs of the child, behavioral challenges drop. It's just, that's what the research shows.
Okay.
Sometimes parents will get caught up in diagnosing way too soon. Like my 3-year-old is an ADHD person, and 3-year-olds just are like that. If you've never had a 3-year-old, they're just all over the place. So
you could argue that all 2- and 3-year-olds have ADHD, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I think I'm going to go back to the initial question, though. There is a time where the medication is necessary.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Right? Oh, sure.
Absolutely.
But I would say most commonly not, but sure, absolutely.
Okay.
There's a lot of misdiagnoses going on.
Yeah, a lot of, that's a good way to put it.
There's certainly many times legitimate.
And are you finding parents that come into your workshop for a parental assistance have already gone with medication and maybe perhaps misdiagnosed?
Not a whole conditions? Lot. We don't see that a whole lot, actually. So,
okay, so.
But sometimes, you know, we have people, the child is on medication and they're seeing us and they're going to a therapist. So that's a really holistic, great package going on.
Okay.
You know, yeah. I mean, I'm very supportive even of parents going to therapy, which is great. But I like, you know, I think taking a parenting class and doing the therapy is really a great way to go.
Yeah, if they're legitimately diagnosed with ADHD, parenting actually needs to be even higher level, you know, because you're dealing with a child that's harder to manage. So the better parenting skills you have, the better you're going to help manage that.
It's more tools in your toolbox. I mean, that always helps.
So when parents walk into your workshop, what's the first thing they learn?
Well, the first thing we teach are the emotional needs. So what are the emotional needs of a child? And the research shows when we meet the needs of the child or anybody, behavioral challenges are less frequent because children are trying to get their emotional needs met on a daily basis. And all of us are, really. And when we get them met, we don't need to go into negative ways of getting them met. So like if I need power, which is one of the emotional needs, age-appropriate power, I don't need to create power struggles with you because I feel filled in my life of having power in my life. Or if I'm getting enough attention, which is another emotional need,
right,
I don't need to do things to get inappropriate attention. The tricky part, though, is it's in the perception of the child. Not if I think I'm meeting your emotional needs. It's if you think your emotional needs are being met.
Okay.
So that's where it becomes a little tricky.
A lot of people think that if you're a crappy adult, you're going to raise a crappy kid.
Oh, no.
Right? And do you see that? Do you see that people that lead lives as adults, that lead lives that maybe go outside the boundaries of law or go outside the boundaries of family values in some way, do they tend to pass that along to their kids?
I think.
And is that kid doomed?
No, and I don't think, I mean, it's possible to pass it along, but it's also possible to change. Education is a very powerful tool. When somebody hopefully learns something or knows something better, you do better. So it's really about the intention of the parent,
right,
and the plasticity of the brain. We can always learn new things. We can always grow new tracks. So I like to think that it's never too late. It's never over. We always have opportunities as humans to learn and grow and change and do better.
What you're bringing up reminds me of Albert Schweitzer said, it's not modeling teaches, it's the only thing that teaches. So I think what you're getting at is if you have low morals and you don't do the right thing and you talk to people in a sarcastic way, right, mean way, definitely the kids are going to pick that up. They're, mm-hmm, they're recorders recording everything that you do in front of them.
So, and you bring that point up and manners. Let's talk about basic manners in children and the fact that we may have lost in adults basic manners among many of us. Are some, and again, I'll ask the doomed question. Manners, if a kid doesn't have just basic manners in Utah, right? If a kid doesn't have basic manners by 7th grade, 8th grade, they're on the downward slope then, aren't they?
It depends. I mean, and Ty's right. Like, it's not that modeling teaches, it's the only thing that teaches. So we're looking at our parents and learning how to do life by looking at our parents.
Right.
However, our expectations, I want to add in sometimes on manners. Let's pretend I do have good manners,
right,
and I have a 2-year-old, a 3-year-old, a 4-year-old, a 5-year-old, a 6-year-old, and I'm like, they don't have good manners. They don't have good manners. Well, developmentally, they're not going to have good manners, right? They're 2, they're 3, they're 4, and we don't get our adult brain till about our mid-20s, till around age 25. So you could see if you think a 2-year-old...
So there's still hope for my 30-year-old?
Yes. I know, well, there is argument. Some of us never get an adult brain. But you could see our expectations. If I think a 7-year-old has an adult brain, which would be, you know, manners, planning, considers consequences, full empathy and compassion...
Delayed gratification,
yeah, right, considers consequences, all those things that are frontal lobe, you could see how I would be parenting you because, right, I'm thinking, what's wrong with you? You should know better. I'm a good role model. But that's not what's happening.
Right.
So,
okay,
it takes time to grow a human.
Yeah, you have to know who's in front of you, what's expected. You know, when we coach parents, we'll say we have a 7-year-old, we'll slide the paper in front of them and go, read this. This is what a 7-year-old developmentally looks like. And the husband and wife go, oh my God, that's him. That's him. That's him. Check,
right,
check, check, check.
Right.
And so it's natural that they're going through these things too, quite often.
Right.
That would be a healthy development, healthy brain, like yeah. 2.5-year-old's tantrum around 2.5. That's healthy brain development. There's nothing wrong with your child. That's what they're supposed to do at that age. And we work on response. How can I respond to you in a healthy way without lowering self-esteem, damaging relationship?
Right. Versus reacting.
Right. How do you define a spoiled child? And is there a definition for a spoiled child to you?
Well, I think you're alluding to being indulged, probably, where... Yes.
The classic definition of a spoiled kid. Yeah. We all know what a spoiled, rotten kid is.
Right. So, well, it starts off early. And if you're, like we were saying earlier, a child needs to be able to do things age appropriately, moving along their age range. So a 6 and 7-year-old can be taught how to do their own laundry. Right. They can help sweep up around the house. They can do lots of chores for themselves. But if they have nannies and servants and grandmothers and everybody else doing it for them, that's where it begins early on.
Right.
And then it's the rescuing. You know, it's like, oh my, I see my child struggling at 18, 20, 25,
right.
16, and I want to overdo for them so they don't have to go through this struggle. And that's a natural feeling, but we have to override that because it's we need to watch them drop, struggle, so their muscles become acclimated to solving their own problem.
Right, and you teach this in the workshops right. Yeah. So first of all, your website is parentingfromtheheart.com, and your next Zoom parenting course begins on Sunday, March 6th. And how do we, other than, is that the way we go? We go to the website and find out about it?
Yeah, everything's there.
Yes.
Yeah, definitely.
And can I also add in, we also have a book called Parent Shift.
By all means, may I take a look at it?
Sure. It's 10 universal truths that will change the way you raise your kids.
Okay.
And that book comes along with the course, although you can get it. If you don't take the course, you can take it as well. And we also, when you take the course, you get a workbook that's a lot of fill in the blank. So you and take all your notes in here, and we answer questions and teach.
Beautiful.
And we do parent coaching, and we do we help parents with adult children that might be struggling with how to get them out of the house or motivate them. So we have a program called LEAP.
Okay. And parents with adult children, what's the ages that you've seen that they come to you?
All the way up to age 32.
Okay.
33, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, and it makes sense. We're not judgmental about this. We have to look at how it was created, and then we work with them viewing their child as differently. Like, they can solve their own problem, which the mindset is they need me still.
Right. And I do you, when you work with these families, do you work with the adult 30-year-old, let's say, as a child, as the child of the parent that brought it to you?
No, or we work with the parents strictly.
Okay.
Because when the parent changes, the child will change.
Okay.
If you keep rescuing, the child does not change because I'm being served, you know?
Right.
There's no natural thing to go. So there's got to be a, sand in the oyster that stirs things up and they...
Yeah, creates the... Right. That's what I say. I like to put a little sand in the oyster, not to cause you great pain. I don't want to see my children suffer, but enough to just kind of slight friendly agitation,
right,
to help move you, to motivate you, to move you to the next step without bribery and reward, without punishment, without lowering your self-esteem. How do I get that? But I only know how to do it when I understand developmental stages and emotional needs and the brain research and your feelings. You know, we talk a lot about feelings, because people have feelings about things and how to express that in a healthy way, and that's okay. So boundaries and limits, and we do siblings, we do all that. It all comes together.
Well,
right?
And most of the world has taught us as humans to discount feelings.
Right.
Don't feel sad. Don't feel too happy. Don't overreact. You know, and really, feelings are always valid because that's what the person's experiencing. So, saying, you look frustrated, you look angry with me, that's how you connect. Because somebody goes, you get me at least. You're not going to solve my problem, but at least you get that I'm frustrated.
And kids and young adults need opportunities to solve their own problems, to make their own age-appropriate decisions. You know, how do we become good decision makers? By making decisions and making mistakes around it. Age appropriate, I always say, even a two-year-old can make decisions, right? You give them two choices, they make a choice. There's a natural consequence, perhaps, that comes from that choice that they don't like. That's how we learn best.
The book is Parent Shift. The website is parentingfromtheheart.com. We've been talking to Ty and Linda Hatfield. The Zoom parenting course begins on Sunday, March 6th. This has been a fascinating conversation. I'd love to have you guys back in.
Thank you.
Hey, it's been fun with you.
Yeah. I love your questions. I think it's very delightful.
You ask great questions.
Well, yeah. I appreciate you being here. Thank you, Paula, as
Thank
always.
You, Ed.
Thank you. It's been Chamber Chat, 8:23 the time.